You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I'll tell you, that whole Joe Judge going off yesterday, that was one big smokescreen, baby. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Welcome, friends. We are back. It's Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Over on Twitter, at Chris Carlin. By all means, check us out over there. Don't hesitate to become a part of the show. We will get to the calls early as well at 800-919-3776. We actually have breaking news regarding the Giants that is very, very good news that we will tell you about in just a few moments. But I do want to start with Joe Judge's comments yesterday. And if you need a refresher, this was in reference to, let's call it in a direct, indirect shot across the bow of the Philadelphia Eagles for what happened on Sunday night. Let's just refresh what exactly was said, shall we? Hit it.
Obviously, players have asked me throughout the day, and I just can't express that. The one thing to keep in mind with this season is we had a lot of people opt in to this season. All right, coaches, players. That includes family members as well. To look at a group of grown men who I asked to give me effort on a day in, day out basis and empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage and play them in a position of strength. To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling practice is going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay, to tell them, please don't have your family there for Thanksgiving, please avoid Christmas gatherings, we know it's your wife's birthday, let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices that have been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members, the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Okay, let's start with the thought itself, which is a lovely thought. It really is. And completely understandable when you know what the sacrifices are that go in to actually playing a season. But what Joe Judge was doing there was bringing in all of that to make a grander point about the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. At the beginning of this, he started it by saying that we have to ultimately win more games, and that's on us. But then later when you're asked about that, you're calling it disrespecting the game. That's exactly what you're doing. And that is just throwing the fans a bone at that point, because you have a frustrated fan base that just watched garbage on Sunday night in prime time. And they are now not going to see the Giants in the playoffs after they have again invested an entire season and have watched this team start at 0-5, 0-6, whatever it was, and put themselves in a deep, deep hole, only to climb their way out of it and play better, and they had chances to feel better about where they were all headed. It was so grand, wasn't it? And only to have those dreams stolen away by Doug Peterson and the Eagles. Look, Doug Peterson is no saint. As far as doing what he did, let's be clear about one thing. Doug Peterson was told to play Nate Sudfeld in that game. He was told to play him. He wasn't making that decision. They didn't want Jalen Hurts to get hurt. After Carson Wentz is sitting the game out, or they benched him, or whatever happened there, it's clear they're trying to trade him, so they certainly don't want him to get hurt. But now they have a situation with Hurts, who they obviously like and believe in for the future. Well, they don't want him to get hurt going into the offseason. So now they're turning to Nate Sudfeld, and it's frustrating to the Giant fan. Understandable. Understandable. But what Joe Judge did there was nothing more than a big smokescreen. What do I mean by that? Well, if you honestly want to look at this and give it some real context, why aren't the Giants in the playoffs? The Giants are not in the playoffs because of how they played down the stretch of the year and one major decision that the head coach made. And that was to play Daniel Jones when he was not ready to play against the Arizona Cardinals. It was a silly, silly decision on his part. It made absolutely no sense. Because when you play him there, and he is nowhere close to 100%, but you're so desperate to win the game, and you're so desperate to keep up with with Washington's football team, then you have to go ahead and try something that you don't want to. You put him out there. It was a colossal failure. He got his tail kicked. You got your tail kicked. I mean, Hassan Reddick, I think, just got another sack. So now you are in a situation where you lost that game after a great win on the road with a backup quarterback, and you're a game behind Washington. Which, frankly, if you lost at home to the Cardinals and you had played Colt McCoy in that game and you lost, it's the same situation. However, you would have had another week of the quarterback getting healthy and thus perhaps being healthy and ready to go against the Cleveland Browns and a chance to beat the Cleveland Browns. Your overall picture, considering you owned the tiebreaker, was much improved if you had just sat him out. And Joe Judge, over those last couple of games, up until week 17, did not have a great stretch. Okay, there were the first bumps in the road as a rookie head coach. So what do we do to make people kind of forget about why we're really not in the playoffs? Let's, you know, throw an indirect bomb down Philadelphia's way. Let's do that. Because that's just easier to do than to actually acknowledge what went wrong. Come on. Joe had a good year. But at the end, it wasn't great. This was a nice way to direct attention away from what happened, away from the fact that you played a major role in the team not winning the division. A major role. And here's the other part. The first time that the Giants are in a similar situation and have the option of whether or not it's going further in the playoffs and not playing starters, or it's not playing your starting quarterback if you have decided next year it's Jones, but you don't want to play him in week 17 because you don't want to get him hurt, they'll do it. Okay? We know famously there was one time they played their starters when they didn't need to, and there was one reason that they did it. And that's because the New England Patriots were undefeated. That's it. Had the Patriots lost a game, you would not have seen Eli Manning play in that fateful 38-35 game leading up to the 2007 incredible run in the playoffs and Super Bowl 42 championship. You wouldn't have seen it. You wouldn't have. Teams are supposed to do what is in their best interests in situations like that. It's why we talked about the Jets all season long. And late in the year, winning those games was not in the long-term interests of the New York Jets. It wasn't. I would have rather have seen a little bit of James Morgan. So now you wouldn't be sitting here trying to figure out whether or not you're going to take Justin Fields or you're going to take Zach Wilson or you're going to try to trade the pick. You would have had it lock, stock, and barrel that you're taking Trevor Lawrence. But that aside, this is the point. When you get to that juncture in the year, week 17, you do what is in the best interests of your football team. They didn't play a bunch of other guys. They were scratches in that game. Were there players ready to go after him then? I get it. The players are out on the field to try to go win. But they are ultimately not the reason that the Giants didn't make the playoffs. They're not. They're not. Stop complaining about it. That's the, if this had to do with the Chargers and the, you know, the Chiefs or the Chargers and the Raiders out west and ultimately coming down to who's making the playoffs, you wouldn't hear a damn word about it around here. And if it wasn't in prime time, you wouldn't have heard a damn word from Chris Collinsworth or from Al Michaels. Not a peep. It was in prime time. That's why. If it was a 1 o'clock game that was buried, and I got, no disrespect, I got the D team, well, I'm not going to say the name, but you know who I'm talking about, calling the games, then, not a peep. You wouldn't have heard anything. I like Spiro Dedis. I was going to say Spiro Dedis. I admitted I was going to say it. I like him personally. But, you know, on the rung, you get where I'm coming from. Nobody would be screaming and yelling about it. Collinsworth would have read about it the next day and been like, huh. And then he would have flipped the page and go do some more next-gen stats commercials with Microsoft Surface. Stop. Outrage. It's foutrage. Faux outrage. And for the Giant fans, suck it up and deal with it. Sorry. It's how it goes. It's not just about winning those extra games. It's about the head coach taking an easy route to try to direct your attention elsewhere. Don't look behind the curtain. 800-919-ESPN on Twitter at Chris Carlin. And we do have some breaking news. So hit the sounder.
Breaking news.
Dramatic. Patrick Graham not going anywhere, signs an extension to stay on with the Giants as their defensive coordinator, not going to take any interviews at head coaching opportunities. Very, very interesting. The Jets, as we know, had actually asked for permission to talk to Patrick Graham. So Patrick Graham staying with the New York Giants as their defensive coordinator signs a contract extension. That's good news for the Giants. That's very good news for the Giants. 800-919-3776. Hit the lines. Let's go. James in Spring Valley is going to start us off tonight on 98.7 ESPN. James, what's up?
Hey, Carlin, what's going on, man? Glad that you're back. I'm a Giants fan, and as much as most Giants fans on Twitter after the Eagles game were up in arms, like, oh, my God, I can't believe the Eagles cost us the playoff spot. I'm going to take this approach. You shouldn't have to rely on the Eagles to get you a playoff spot. The Giants had 6 wins. Like, win more games. Like, I love Joe Judge. I think Joe Judge is the guy, is the right guy for the team. But my problem is you shouldn't be mad at the Eagles for doing what's in the best interest of the team. Now, don't get me wrong, how the Eagles handled it was poorly. If you really want just flat-out tank, you should have just, after the Dallas game, when you got eliminated, you should have been like, hey, you know what? You know, we're going to start Nate Sudfeld. And then the game would have been like at 1 o'clock with, like, you know, Kevin Harlan or whatever B team or C team.
Well, Kevin Harlan's team not you have.
Okay, well, okay, well, well, okay, well, whatever.
We don't need to start knocking broadcasters. I love those guys, but still. I'd kill to be on the F team myself, but that's just me.
Like, the point is that...
Give me Jacksonville, Miami, and day of the week. I'll take it.
The point is, you shouldn't be upset what the Eagles are doing. They did what was in best interest of their team. They're like, listen, and as much as I hate the Eagles, and I'm a big Giants fan, they did what was best for the team. They just handled it poorly. Use it as motivation, Giants. Improve on your team. Get better. And then maybe next year, you shouldn't put yourself in a position to rely on other teams to lose.
James, listen, and that's the grander scheme of it. And thanks for the call. That's the grander idea behind it. And we say that every year when it has to come to that, right? But people get outraged when they see a team like the Eagles do what they did. And I understand why they get upset. Not just because your team's not making the playoffs, but because they're laying down in your mind. Okay, was that 100% about moving up from 9 to 6 in the draft? Probably not. It was probably more about we don't want to get Jalen Hurts banged up when we feel like he's the future. Okay? If Doug Peterson is going to send his team out there, and for the guys playing, they are out there trying to win a game, and they deserve better. All right, that's a selective interpretation. For certain guys, that's the case. When Brandon Graham is out on the field the other day, he deserves better than that. He deserves better than that. He's been a big part of their organization for a long time. He made the biggest play in the history of their organization, and he deserves better. But when you're talking about the fact that they had sat out so many players in that game to begin with, Fletcher Cox is nowhere to be found. You've got other guys in there dinged up. I get it, but they were not. If the game meant something to them, they would have been playing. Alshon Jeffrey, whoever it was. So when those guys are out, let's make no mistake. You don't have to be told anything. You know that's as close to a fourth preseason game as you can have, and the only reason that more guys aren't sitting out is because you have certain roster limits, and you have to get some more of them out there. You have to have them on the field. You only got 54, 53 players. Hector in New Jersey is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hector, what's up, baby?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
This is the first time caller.
Thanks for checking in, dude.
Hey, I love listening to you, but I got to disagree with you on this Giants game.
Go.
Oh, the Eagles game, actually. I mean, okay. Come on. They had a chance to tie the game. They didn't kick the field goal. They threw the game. The game was thrown. They didn't want to win that game.
Here's the only thing I'll argue about that. Okay? And I am not defending it because I myself am sitting in front of the television saying exactly what everybody else is. Kick the field goal, tie the game. Doug Peterson does this all the time. Doug Peterson goes for it in situations like this all the time. I hate it, you know, but he wants to be Riverboat Doug. But he's not, and you know, there have been plenty of times in the past where he's done stuff like that. He's always going to be extra aggressive. That's just what he does.
I understand, but I mean, if, you know, to your point of saying that, you know, he didn't want Hurts to get hurt or anything, then why start him? Why have him play?
Well, because you do need to see him actually play. Because you do need to see Hurts play some more. He had only played, what, three games up until that point? Three full games?
Yes,
they do actually need to see him get more reps, but up to a point in a game like that, that's when you're going to play him. Look, when we started hearing in the middle of the afternoon that there was a heavy dose of Nate Sudfeld coming, and there were reports out there that that was on the way, I didn't hear people screaming and yelling about it because they didn't realize just how atrocious Nate Sudfeld is.
You're right. I agree. But, you know, again, I agree on the point that, you know, the Giants should have won the game. And I don't think Jones should have been on the field second week back against Arizona. I think they should have took that second week, especially with a hamstring. Give it 2 weeks. You know, I agree with you on that. They should have won another game, but it, I don't know.
And you could look at a lot of that. Listen, it's not just that, okay? Joe, I think, with that comment, I don't think it was completely for that reason, and thanks for the call. Joe gets the opportunity there to at least get people to not look behind the curtain for a minute at what really happened. Now, there were games early in the season that the Giants could have won. One more. That's it. You win in Chicago. I mean, they went right down the field and couldn't get it done at the very end. You know, you could take your pick of games earlier in the year where they had opportunities to win games and they just didn't know how to close them out yet. Simple as that. Arsenio's in Clifton, New Jersey. Arsenio, what up?
How are you, Chris? First, happy
New Year.
I'm
great. How you doing? Happy New Year to you.
Good. So, you're actually, since that Cardinals game, you are the first person I've heard bring that up. And I've been telling so many people that Joe Judge cost the Giants the season at that point when he played Daniel Jones at 70%.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you had sat him out and made sure that he was 100% healthy for the Browns game, you would have had a much better chance of going to the playoffs. And I get it that if you play Colt McCoy, you probably would have lost to the Cardinals too. But That doesn't matter. What matters more is that you had that situation in hand to just sit him out, and you took away that opportunity by playing him too soon. The following week, you had to sit him out because then he suffered the extra injury and he clearly wasn't ready to go as it was. And then they're trying to play coy in the last week of the year. Oh, he's not that healthy, and I wish he didn't let that much information out there. Stop.
Exactly. And the one thing that I will give him credit for what he said was just the whole COVID situation, having the players who opted in, and mm-hmm. the sacrifices that the families took.
Two things can be true. Two things can be true, Arsenio. That's 100% true.
Yeah, and that I appreciated from him. But for sure, that game against the Cardinals, I felt like really hurt. And one last thing before I go, go Knicks.
We will get to some Knicks in a little bit because everybody's getting excited, and I understand why. Because you've been out in the desert for 35 years or 20 years or whatever it is, and you've been drinking the sand. So anything that looks good, you want to go ahead and looks like it might be some sort of a drink. You want to suck it down like Coca-Cola, as Kramer said. Nope. I'm not there yet. Never thought I'd be saying this. Never once. Thought I'd be saying this. Dave Gettleman deserves another opportunity. And he's not going anywhere, which is very clear. But there's no shot that I thought at the beginning of the season that Dave Gettleman would be someone deserving of another opportunity as Giants GM. But he is. He is. And the reason I say that is that, well, you can't argue that there were actually some good moves made by Dave Gettleman this year. I don't know about the draft yet from this past year. I don't know about Andrew Thomas, who, when I'm going through the first round pick grades earlier today from Pro Football Focus, came in, you know, somewhere around 17th, 18th, 19th out of 32. I don't know about Xavier McKinney, who obviously didn't play the majority of the season. You know, Matt Peart helped on the offensive line. Darnay Holmes, Lemieux, Crowder. Yeah, I mean, you had guys that helped a lot. But really, why Dave Gettleman deserves another chance is what he did in free agency and what he did with the Leonard Williams trade. Listen, let's call it what it was. It was an aggressive move at the time, viewed by many, including myself, as stupid. He gave him the franchise tag for this past year. There was probably no need to do the trade. I would still argue that there was no need to do the trade. If you wanted to go and get him and you believed in him that much, you could have helped your cap out by signing him to a long-term deal before. That would have been smarter. But you do have to at least admit 11 and a half sacks. Leonard Williams finally came into his own this year. He's a special player this season, and the Giants are going to want to sign him long-term and should want him here for the long-term. James Bradberry, phenomenal season. Gettleman obviously had him in Carolina, brought him over, gave him a big contract as probably a top two corner on the free agent market, and he was right there earning every bit of it. Blake Martinez played so much better than I would have ever expected. So much better. I expected him to come over and have a guy that got a lot of tackles, but in a lot of defenses, there are players that get a lot of tackles. Doesn't mean they're a great player. Blake Martinez played great this season. Kyler Fackrell hurt a lot, but still made contributions here and there. And then, of course, Logan Ryan. I thought they were a little aggressive by giving Logan Ryan the $20 million guaranteed three-year deal right now. He obviously wanted to stay here and liked the way things were shaking up. And I think it was important to Joe Judge to be able to keep Logan Ryan here too, because he's clearly one of his guys. But all in all, it's hard to argue that off of this season, you'd have to fire Dave Gettleman. If you had done it after last year, it was not only more understandable, more expected. You do it after this year, I don't think you have much of a case. I don't think you have much of a case. Does that mean you give him an extension? Of course not. But Dave's not going anywhere. And frankly, he deserves to stay. He deserves to stay because the moves that he made, especially in free agency this past year, paid off in a big way for the Giants. Just in that they solved some real problems that they had. Rob in Brooklyn is next, 98.7 ESPN. Rob, what's cooking?
How you doing, Chris? First time caller.
Good to be with you, brother. Thanks for checking in.
I want to talk about the Giant fans. Did any of them call up and complain that Dallas didn't challenge that call about the catch? That wasn't a catch? Because then they lose that game with a field goal.
Mm-hmm. Not many. Not any, I don't think.
You didn't hear that side of it, right?
I did not hear that side of it. Now, the argument could be made that the guys upstairs didn't see it in time, but it was hard to believe that they wouldn't have at least had a clue that they should take a look at it.
Yeah, but if they challenge, they got nothing to lose by challenging. They lose a timeout if it don't go their way.
Yeah, but they don't say nothing. They don't consider that nothing to lose in a close game. They do consider that something to lose. But it's not not the same thing. I understand your point, but it's not the same thing.
All right,
good talk, Rob. Thanks for checking in. Spike in Jersey. What's up, Spike?
I missed you, man. Welcome back to the big fella.
Thank you. I know you did.
I did. I did miss you. I caught you on the Rutgers game. So I'm going to give you four famous quotes in chronological order. Mahatma Gandhi said, I don't have it exactly, but an eye for an eye makes the world blind eventually. Martin Luther King, I had a dream. George Young, follow the money. And Chris Collin at Steve's Pizza, would you like extra cheese? Did you take a look at me? That's how much I missed you, big fella.
That's really troubling, missed hearing you, man.
It was good. Good weekend. I'll tell one quick comment. And I got to comment because I relate to you with the Rutgers game. It's another bad beat again against that team after that fling 2 years before off the backboard. What'd you think?
I mean, it was a tough beat. It was a tough loss the other day, but this is life in the Big Ten right now. They've got Michigan State tonight at 9 o'clock on the road.
I know.
They've never beaten Michigan State, and I'm very anxious to see them play this particular Michigan State team because you would argue that they, you know, even though they're an underdog, they should win this game.
This is their time, yeah. I felt bad for the big kid who mishandled the ball. Well, listen, I can't get sidetracked. So here's what I think with the Giants, and again, great to have you back. Really missed you. Here's what I think. George Young said, follow the money. It was pretty easy for I forget the names at my age and condition, but the Giant coach, Judge?
Yeah.
Okay. He comes off tough and powerful and where he comes from. And he did a good job this year, and you made a great case for Gettleman. His free agent signings were terrific. Terrific. Evan Ingram had WD-40 sprayed on his hands all year long. And the kid can't hold on to the ball, so you got to get rid of him. I don't know what the cap hit is. But this game could have been an unimportant game. Could have been ended. They came up good. Jones came up good, and the caller prior or two back said they brought him back too soon, which is a hindsight call.
It's a hindsight call. They did at the time. It was clear from that first series in that game, Spike, and thanks for the call, that it was way too soon for them to bring him back. It was way too soon. They had no business doing it. It was absolutely the wrong way to go. And for me, that sums up what the bigger part of the Giants not making the playoffs was. That played a much bigger role than anything else. That's ultimately why they didn't make the playoffs. You can point to games earlier in the year, had chances to win some of those games. You can point to Sunday night if you want. Giants didn't make the playoffs because the head coach brought Daniel Jones back too soon, and he got his clock cleaned and was coughing up the football left and right and thus had to miss another week. If you had just given him enough rest to be close to 100% for Cleveland, you would have had a much, much, much better chance of making the playoffs. A little bit of breaking news that Devonta Smith wins the Heisman Trophy, as he should, Alabama's receiver and potential future New York Jet. You know, I have a Heisman vote, and I voted Devonta Smith number one, I voted Trevor Lawrence two, and I voted Mac Jones three. And I actually, if you voted, you vote top three. If I had voted a fourth, I would have voted Najee Harris. I mean, think about that. Three players from one team that were finalists for the Heisman Trophy. That's absolute lunacy. That's how good Alabama is. I'll tell you, with Devonta Smith and the Jets, so if you subscribe to Pro Football Focus, which I did this past year for the first time, I'm usually not that much of a numbers dork guy. You know, some of it I get into, some of it, you know, when they grade players, I buy a lot of that stuff, but I don't want to get into analytics too much when it comes to football. But I went today and they have, similar to what the ESPN had with the NBA trade machine, they have the NFL mock draft machine. So you can go through and draft for your team if you want to, or you can attempt to make trades if you want to with other teams. And the computer will simulate whether or not a team would make that deal. So I tried to trade back a couple of times. Now, granted, this is just a mock draft, right? Mock draft scenario. I tried to trade back to 8 from 2, assuming that the Jets were not going to take a quarterback and that they were going to give Sam another chance. And I tried to get a second rounder this year and a first rounder next year. Couldn't do it. Couldn't get the deal done. But I did manage to move back to 6 and end up getting Devonta Smith at 6th and an extra second and third round pick this year. And obviously have the Seahawks pick later on and got a right tackle. I tell you what, I'm going to have a lot of fun playing on this thing in the next few months. And that leads me to this from a Jet standpoint. Man, it has not been said before, at least not in at least 10 to 15 years. Whether or not you want to admit it right now, it's a good time to be a Jet fan. Right now, okay? Because this all started a year and a half ago when they hired Joe Douglas because it was the right move for the right guy. Very well respected in the league. Smart guy. Knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. Then, number two important move was Jamal Adams' trade. Getting what they got in return, a 1 and a 3 this year, a 1 next year, fantastic move for the Jets. Fantastic move. So now they find themselves going into this offseason with the second overall pick in the draft, which, all right, yes, you wanted number one, but let's move on now because it's not happening and you have options. You have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds this year, 9 picks in the first 3 rounds over the next 2 drafts. 9 picks in the first 3 rounds over the next 2 drafts. You have $90 million in cap space, roughly. Because some of the deals that, while they didn't necessarily work out on the offensive line, if you're the Jets, with Joe Douglas, with George Fant, with, you know, Van Roten. These are guys, I don't think Van Roten's one, but, the, you know, Alex Lewis. The Jets can cut Fant and Alex Lewis and not take a hit barely at all on the salary cap. So those were not high-risk deals for the Jets. You remember about, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago when Dave Gettleman said we needed the adult in the room and he was talking about Pat Shurmur. I hate to draw that correlation because that certainly turned out to be a mess, but the Jets need an adult in the room to be the head coach. And when I say that, I don't mean somebody who's dull and Pat Shurmur-esque or Shurmurian, whatever that would be. What I mean is a Joe Judge type, frankly. You know, they understand that they want a head coach that is going to be the head coach of the entire team, not just coaching one side of the ball, not just, you know, being the head coach of the offense and letting the defensive coordinator be the head coach of the defense, like Adam Gase did. They need somebody to be in charge of the entire team. And they need somebody to understand today's player, connect with them, hold them accountable, and yet motivate them. And that's what we're looking at with Joe Judge right now. I mean, I do believe he's got a lot of things going in the right direction. And I do believe that he was a good hire by the Giants. So for the Jets to look for somebody similar, I don't necessarily mean special teams coach. I don't necessarily mean any of that. I mean somebody with similar traits. That's what you're looking for. Because this has to be about leadership and excitement with a mature angular quality to them. That's what this next head coach has to be. A guy that gets you excited, a guy that provides leadership, but he's got a mature quality to him. Think Rex Ryan on Xanax. Maybe a double dose. How about that? I don't have a specific candidate here to go get. I honestly don't. I can tell you who not to get. A couple of names I've heard along the way. I heard the name Brian Schottenheimer. Really? That would be an all-out revolt. I know that none of these guys were around here. Brian Schottenheimer cannot be the head coach of the Jets. There's too much bad history there. Marvin Lewis should not be the head coach of the Jets. Okay? I know that Marvin Lewis is probably an underrated head coach and did a nice job with the Cincinnati Bengals, but he was there forever, and never once won a playoff game. That's a tough sell. That is a tough, tough sell. You don't want Doug Peterson. Even if he was available, yeah, he won a Super Bowl. You don't want Doug Peterson to be your head coach. This is my point. There are a few guys that I know that would be bad, but I don't sit here right now and say it has to be this guy. Like, I like the idea of Lincoln Riley. We talked about that. I don't hate it. I don't think he's necessarily going to do it. And yeah, he's more of an offensive guy, but look, they're going to be interviewing coordinators. They're going to be interviewing college head coaches. They're going to be interviewing all kinds of people here and being very thorough in it. But the best things that I've heard nothing but good things out of the Jets the last few days. Christopher Johnson basically owning up to the fact that they will change the structure of how this is all set up, that Joe is going to go and conduct this search and they'll help conduct the search. But ultimately, it's very clear that Christopher Johnson and Woody, they're going to go based on the recommendation of Joe Douglas. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. I'm excited for the Jets' future. Very much so. And I know how the Jet fan feels. But, like, this has been set up so perfectly over the last year and a half, and you don't even really realize it. As bad as it's been with the losing, you had to go through the labor to get the baby. And pretty soon, they're going to be giving birth to a pretty good, stable organization for a long time. It's coming. I see it. Trust me, it's coming. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. We roll on with the phone calls next. Also on Twitter, by all means, hit us up over there at Chris Carlin. We will work in some of those tweets. Chris Walpole, I wish Doug Peterson was the coach for the Jets this year. They'd tank it the right way. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was a lesson in tanking the other night. I don't want to be that guy. I never want to be that guy. I get accused of being that guy quite often. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy to pour cold water on it. But I think I'd be doing a disservice if I did not at least acknowledge that, yes, while the Knicks have won 4 out of 5, that we mustn't get ahead of ourselves. Now, look, as I have said many times before, when you spend 20 years in the desert, you start to drink the sand because anything looks like water. And I'm not going to fault you for getting excited. I just wouldn't get too excited. Enjoy this for the moment of what it is. There are things to genuinely feel good about. What are those things? Number one, it's that Tom Thibodeau has his team buying in to what he wants to do. They are defending. They are playing smart basketball. They are making extra passes. They are getting good looks. They're not taking a lot of dumb shots. They're playing better basketball than we have seen a Knicks team play in a long time. Talent aside, just doing the right things, sharing the basketball, doing everything you're supposed to do to win. Feel good about that. Feel good about Emmanuel Quickley, who through 3 games has played very nicely and can make shots. And what a nice change of pace that is. Feel good about R.J. Barrett, who has played exceptionally well the last couple of games. Really, really well the last two. Feel good about Julius Randle, who I just think is such a, frankly, an inspiration this year with the way he has handled himself. To go into the offseason, to work his tail off, to get into the shape that he's in, and to be playing the kind of basketball that he's playing, it's inspirational. And it's clear that whatever slight he took from the media or whatever it was in the offseason, he took it personally. And he was given the very short answers at the beginning of the year and not very talkative, but now he's kind of coming out of the shell a little bit and coming out of the angry shell and showing that he can be a leader not only vocally, but also by example. More importantly, by example, especially on a very young team. All great things to see. Having said all of that, just come on. Stop getting excited. Stop getting that excited. Enjoy the moment, but understand what's coming. This is still, in the grand scheme of things, a bad NBA team. The Knicks are not good. They're showing you the illusion of being good. That's admirable. That's great. It's good that they're buying into the coach. It's good that they're starting to show some development. It's good that a veteran player has worked hard to improve himself through the offseason. The Knicks are void of talent. Okay? Emmanuel Quickley has played 3 games. Obi Toppin isn't playing right now. They are fun to watch in the moment. You know why the Knicks are fun to watch? because they're actually executing some things, because they're actually doing what you're supposed to do to win basketball games. But when it comes to the talent itself, it's not good. The Knicks are still, in the grand scheme, bad at basketball. Bad at basketball. And you're going to see that come up here in very short order. We're all going to come back down to earth, okay? This is not the Cleveland Indians in Major League. Although it may feel like at times you're working off a list upon which somebody might be on the roster who you thought was actually dead. At the same time, you have to understand what's truly coming. And what's coming is reality. It's going to set in. So I just want to caution you, because more than anything, this isn't me pouring cold water on it. It's me looking out for you. It's me wanting to make sure that you don't get hurt. Because you've been hurt a lot. It's the new girlfriend, right? Excited and early in that relationship. The new boyfriend, whatever. You don't see the faults because you don't want to see the faults. You're excited and you're having a good time and you're enjoying their company. And then you start to realize that this may not be the one. This may not be the one. Time to move on from that. So, this is not me telling you all the negative stuff to be Mr. Negative. This is me looking out for you. The Knicks are a bad basketball team. Please don't lose sight of that. Because that is when you get hurt. And trust me when I tell you this. As the outside observer, you are not ready to get hurt again yet. You're not. 909-800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Tweet us as well at Chris Carlin over on Twitter. You can leave your comments as well on the video stream, which is at ESPN New York 98.7's Twitter feed. And of course, on ESPN New York's Facebook page as well. Want to get you involved there as much as we can, so by all means, please do. Now, up next, we will tune in to one particular expert on the draft and what the Jets should do when it comes to the quarterback situation. And it's interesting how this is put together, this particular thought. Something interesting from earlier today, and it was Mel Kiper Jr. on Get Up This Morning with Greeny, and it was in reference to the Jets quarterback situation, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, and where they could be headed. Take a listen.
No, I would not. I think the Jets move forward with Sam Darnold. Greeny, when I go back and check the rating on Sam Darnold, he was right behind Josh Allen on my quarterback board. His rating will be higher than Justin Fields' rating and ranking. So I think you look at that. They have the, you know, Sam Darnold. He knows them. He's shown promise. He needs the right coach. He needs, obviously, the right people around him. But I would move forward with Sam Darnold. Hopefully, Cincinnati is thinking, hey, we need Penei Sewell. We can move up from 5-2, make that deal with the Jets, get the tackle. If the Jets are stuck there, take Sewell. You have two of the best young bookend tackles in the league with Mekhi Becton and Penei Sewell helping out Sam Darnold. So, no, I would not take Justin Fields, the two of them, the Jets. I would either trade down or take the offensive tackle and move forward, like I say, Greeny, with Sam Darnold.
I'm surprised by this, and here's why. Because, first of all, as much as I love Mel and I love, you know, draft stuff, and I'm as into it as I am, to go by the idea that Sam had a better draft rating than Justin Fields is going to have, and that's the reason that you should roll with Sam here, I don't buy that for a second. Now, look, I haven't made up my mind yet. I like Fields a lot. I like Zach Wilson. I've seen him play once, exactly. But I've seen Fields play 10 times. I'm very high on him. I think that if you're going to do any of the three, I'm actually not going to have a problem with any of it. But to suggest that the reason that you should do it is because, well, now Sam was rated higher than this guy was coming out. No. That's not where I'm going here. Because that's talking about Sam Darnold from 3 years ago. He said, need the right coach, need people around him. Every quarterback needs that. Everyone does. Sam has been injured quite a bit in his career so far, every year. When you're injured and miss games every year for whatever reason, even if it's mono, you're still missing time. Still is what it is. And then you have a quarterback who has really never elevated anyone around him. He has shown flashes. But when you go off of flashes, a lot of times that is, you know, going off of flashes is problematic to begin with. I need consistency to go off. Flashes are never good enough. So I can't make it based off of what his draft rating was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. That's not how I'm making this decision. And if you're going to make it about the money and you want to reset the clock on quarterback, but I have no problem with that. If you're going to make it about the fact that Sam just hasn't played well enough and you don't believe in him, I got no problem with that. But if you're going to make it about what his draft grade was, that to me is just not the way to go. Okay? If you think that Sam is infinitely worse than what, or if you think that Sam is infinitely better than what Justin Fields is, okay, I guess I could see it, but I'm not buying that based off of what happened 3 years ago. Sam's got 3 years of wear and tear on his body and, more importantly, on his mind here. You know, if he's going to be a big-time quarterback, I don't necessarily think it's going to be here. If you have stars around him, if you have the tackles, if you have all of that, all right, great. I am of the opinion that Sam is somebody that has to have the exact perfect situation around him with playmakers, protection, a good defense to be a true winning quarterback in the league. And to me, that's a third tier quarterback in the league. There's superstars. There's borderline stars. And then there's guys you can potentially win with if you have everything else in place. 800-919-3776. First one of the year. Let's do it. Oh, yeah. This is the Richard of Manhattan warning that we fire off in case you should want to check out for a moment or two while Richard comes on to make his point. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Chris. You know, the Knicks last night had two players, Barrett and Randall, combined for 54 points and 28 rebounds. I don't ever remember that happening.
At some point, but yes, it was a fine performance between the two.
And you know, their starting five averages 35 minutes a game, so he's establishing, you know, Thibodeau, chemistry there. I like it. I like what he's doing. We'll see, but I like what he's doing. You know, Sunday night, the Giant fans, and I'm one of them, but I'm hearing on the radio, they're getting too much over this. What they should just say, and this is how I wanted to watch a nice game Sunday night, and a competitive game, primetime, standalone game. I didn't expect to hear Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, laughing at the game and saying, this is a joke. And that speaks for itself. This is not what we, as football fans, we want to watch. Now, you can get into the details, this and that. That's not up to me. I'm speaking for myself only. I wanted to watch a good football game, and that was crap what we watched, and it was ridiculous. That's all
I'm
saying.
The Eagles weren't asking to get flexed into primetime. Okay?
Well, that's not up to me, Chris. That's up to the sponsors. That's up to the telecast, the network, the NFL.
It's not up to the Eagles in that situation.
It's on the product, and
Richard,
I expect to watch something good.
It's not up to the Eagles in that situation to make you happy.
Well, I'm not thinking that way, Chris. All I'm thinking is
I
want to watch
it. I know you're not, but I tell you, they are.
Well, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm only worried about myself, and that wasn't enjoyable to watch. Okay, Rutgers at Michigan State, a 1.5-point favorite. I bet you that's never, ever, ever happened.
They were 1.5-point favorites? I thought they were 1.5-point dogs.
Michigan State.
Michigan State was, yeah. Well,
no, Rutgers is favorite
throw
by
it
Michigan,
in the ocean right
at
now.
At Michigan State.
Yeah, no. Rutgers cannot throw it in the ocean right now.
Well, not so far. Devonta Smith. It'll be unique if this kid wins the Heisman. And I've seen all three of these guys, Desmond Howard, Johnny Rogers, and Tim Brown. Although they were listed as receivers, maybe Tim Brown you'd consider a full-time receiver. He was mostly known for his punt returns, kickoff returns, and he came a little bit out of the backfield. Johnny Rogers at Nebraska was more of a slant back, and he wasn't a pure wide receiver. In the pros, he was, and he wasn't even that good a wide receiver in the pros. Decent. Desmond Howard certainly wasn't a great wide receiver in the pros.
But
and he
Tim
was
Brown turned into a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Tim Brown, yes. Yeah, he was a wide receiver. Yeah, he was. But in college, he was not a total wide receiver. This kid only is a wide receiver. So that'll definitely be unique if this happens, if the kid from Alabama becomes the Heisman Trophy.
He won it earlier tonight.
What's that, Chris?
He won it tonight.
He gave out the Heisman Trophy tonight. Oh, he won it. Okay, so this is the first pure only wide receiver to win it in college football. Only known
in the
Richard
in Manhattan book, yes, that is true. Yes,
that's pretty unique. So, all right, Chris. One last thing, Chris.
Go ahead.
All right, there are 6 football games on this weekend. 6 playoff games.
Yes.
Take a guess how many points the spread is amongst the 6 teams.
You mean total?
Yeah, total.
I would say it's probably about.
How about? 30. Give me your exact figure.
30.
No, much more. 37. Which means 6.2 points per game. Now, when you consider the Alabama-Ohio State game is 7.5, the NFL is saying our games are going to be as competitive almost as the Alabama-Ohio State game on the average. The lowest is a 3.5 spread, and the highest is a 10-point spread. So I think
there you go. You live and you learn. You live and you learn, Richard. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You live and you learn. There are nights it takes a lot out of you. It really, physically and mentally, takes something out of you. Tonight was one of those nights with Richard.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.